Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hello, and welcome to the Numerologist Podcast. I'm Rose. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, you may know today's guest from her monthly spirit guide readings with Numerologist. She's a writer, intuitive counselor, and spiritual teacher trained in the Toltec tradition of Miguel Ruiz and the Four Agreements. She's co-author of When Heaven Touches Earth, A Little Book of Miracles, Marvels and Wonders. She also has a very special bond with her cat, which I'll reveal much more about later. Please welcome Jessica McKay. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Rose.
How are you?
I'm great.
That's great.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Now,
thank you so much.
When we have a guest on the podcast, obviously, us being a numerology site, we love to get to know people by their life path numbers. So what is your life path number, Jessica?
My life path number is a 3.
Oh.
So as you know, that's all about creativity and self-expression and being conscious of other people's emotions, which I think is really fitting considering what I do. And I looked up, you know, I looked up other people that have the life path 3 number, and I was so excited to share a number with William Shatner because I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
Excellent. Yeah. So we say that, you know, the 3, the highest path will take you towards audiences who need to see and hear visions of your heart, which it's really, really, to me especially, feels like something that is that definitely resonates with what you do.
Wow.
So let's delve a little bit deeper into what you do and who you are. So tell me a bit about your background and how you really started your journey into all things spirituality.
Yes, well, most people are drawn to spirituality because they're going through struggle or some kind of suffering. And I'm no different. When I was a child, I was really, really empathic and really sensitive. And so I was bullied a lot in school. And what that means, empathic, is just that I could pick up other people's emotions and it would be very overwhelming to me. So my teachers told my parents that they thought I was too sensitive. And the message I really got from my mother and father was that my sensitivity and specifically my fear was too much for them. And so I spent a lot of my life trying to be brave, trying to get approval from them and from other people. And what I've found is that when you spend all your time trying to be good enough for other people, you lose your way. You lose your connection with your own path. And you do what you think other people think you should do. And this is a huge reason for confusion and lack of clarity around people's purpose. But I was living a very passionless life because of it. But that led me to being a seeker. I was always yearning, always looking for an answer. What was going to make me happy? And so I got into reading a lot of different spiritual books. And one day I found a book that led me to a teacher. And I gave up everything to go and work for that teacher. So I ended up moving from New Jersey to California to work for this spiritual teacher as his personal assistant. And he and I went on spiritual journeys. We took groups with us to Mexico. And this is all in the tradition of Miguel Ruiz, as you said in the intro. And I learned so much about spirituality and about emotional healing. And the number one thing that I came away with was that self-love has the power to heal everything.
Wow. Yeah. That's actually really beautiful. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go back to what you said about, you know, your childhood and your parents really sort of not understanding your empathic nature. What would you say to other parents who potentially have an empathic child, and how would you have liked to have been nurtured, I suppose, by your parents who perhaps didn't understand what your sensitivity really was.
Yeah. What would have really made the difference for me is to be told that my sensitivity was okay, that there was nothing wrong with me and nothing wrong with being sensitive, because I worked so hard to be what I thought was normal, which was tough, you know, and brave, and all of these things that I admired from other people. And when you're empathic, it's difficult for an empathic child, because the sensitivity that they feel, it's overwhelming. It's like loud noises would frighten me. Whereas other kids, it seemed to me, would love the chaos and they'd run towards the noise and they reveled in that. And I always felt like I was in the middle of, you know, a war zone or something. I wanted quiet. I wanted peace. I wanted space. I wanted to be given the time to get into things on my own time frame. So empathic children just need space to know that it's okay that they feel the way that they feel, and then be allowed to step into life in their own way with their own timing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good message to parents, because there's probably a lot of parents out there who don't necessarily understand, you know, say if their children are empathic or that they do have those sensitivities and how to really deal with them. But that's a really good tip there. So let's look more into your spiritual life. So you work with numerologists doing spirit guide videos, which we love, and a lot of our fans will recognize you from there. So what urged you to sort of delve into this sort of spirit guide side of spirituality? Was there a clear turning point in your life that led you to your spirit guides?
Yeah. Well, the first time I saw my spirit guides was when I was training to become a hypnotherapist. And at the time, I didn't know that they were my guides, but I kept seeing them. And I realized that these beings were part of a team that was supporting me. So in hypnotherapy training, you practice with other people, being the hypnotherapist and then being the client. So hypnotherapy is a way of quieting the thoughts and getting really, really relaxed. And in that state of relaxation, you have access to your subconscious. What I didn't know is that you also have access to these other realms, and you're more receptive to messages from spirit guides. So that's how I saw them. And this was at a point in my life when I was really trying to heal myself. You know, I mentioned feeling disconnected from my purpose because I was a people pleaser, and I never felt quite like I fit in anywhere. So I always hated my jobs. I didn't like working for other people. And I was always searching, but I was also searching for love. Like, I thought that love was going to change everything. But I kept finding myself in relationships with abusive men who were judgmental. So I was in this hypnotherapy program as a way to heal that pattern. And it helped me deepen my intuitive ability enough to see and hear my spirit guides.
Wow. That's really interesting, because, you know, you hear a lot of times through meditation and things like that, that is a clear way that you can sort of connect with the spirit realm and things like that. So obviously with you going into the hypnotherapy side of things, that is, you know, like you said, that form of relaxation, that state of relaxation and being able to access those other realms. So would you say that if people were sort of looking to sort of connect with their spirit guides, that meditation would really help them? And I suppose the second part of that question is, do the spirit guides come to you when you need them, or do they come to you when you're looking for them?
Both, absolutely. Meditation is a great way of connecting with your guides, and anyone can do it. It's about practicing being relaxed. And what really, really helps is guided visualization. Because you can actually use your imagination to imagine that you're walking through a forest And you set up the intention that in this forest that you're walking through in your mind is a spirit guide who's going to meet you. You set up that intention, you invite your spirit guide to meet you there, and know that even if it's in your imagination, your spirit guides can see what you're visualizing, and they will do everything they can to meet you in that visualization. So if you imagine a spirit guide sitting across from you, a spirit guide will actually come and sit down across from you. That's how it works.
Wow.
So you just have to kind of train yourself to, you know, to stop the mind from saying, oh, I'm just making this up, it's not real. And know that it is real. Everything that you create in your mind is a mental construct. It's real. And spirit guides step into that. So they actually use your imagination to send you messages. So you create things in your mind and they send you things in your mind. So it's like a two-way street.
And that's a great reminder as well, isn't it? About the fact that of the power of the mind, you know, what you believe comes into fruition, what you manifest comes into fruition. So we've actually got a guided visualization, which I'll link for the listeners. If you want to have a listen to that, and you could try your hand at doing the guided visualization and meeting your spirit guides too. So moving on. So your business, you basically help people through, you know, finding their spirit guides, giving them their spirit guide messages. So as an intuitive counselor, what would you say is the sort of most rewarding aspect of your practice?
Oh my gosh, it's giving comfort to someone. It's seeing someone and helping someone make a life-changing breakthrough. I work mostly with women who feel unfulfilled in their relationships or careers. These are the overgivers who don't feel connected to their purpose. And it fills my heart when the person I'm working with is able to, you know, break a pattern, like to stop attracting the wrong partners and find the unconditional love she's seeking. Because through our work together, we were able to dismantle the subconscious programming that kept that pattern in place. That is one of the most rewarding aspects of my work, to see someone's entire life change when they've been doing the same thing over and over again, having the same frustrations, the same issues, and then we go into the subconscious through the intuitive coaching and dismantle that. It's so beautiful, and I'm so grateful and honored to do this work.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, you mentioned earlier on that you thought love was going to be the change to everything. And it sounds like, you know, you kind of help people with their own love lives as well. You know, we had your Ask Jessica videos on Numerologist on the YouTube channel a while ago, and some of our listeners may have watched them. So what made you really want to help people with this aspect of their lives specifically?
Well, once I learn something, I just want to share it. And my love life was a mess. I was attracting the wrong people, not just once or twice, but over and over again. And I understood, because of the spiritual work that I was doing, I understood that there was a pattern operating. And once I figured out what the pattern was and where it came from, through the help of my teachers and mentors, I was able to break it. And once I broke that pattern, I met my husband. And, you know, all of my work is born out of my own experience and the experience I've had counseling women and men for the last 8 years. So I understand a lot about relationships, how to create more intimacy, how to communicate with a partner. And of course, it all, I say this over and over in my videos, it all goes down to what happened to us in childhood, you know, and I talked about the message I got as a child was that I was, you know, I was a burden, I was a pain in the neck, I should be different than I am. And all of us get that message to one degree or another, that we're not enough, we're not good enough. And that's the reason that we attract different kinds of energies and relationships. So it's all about breaking that thinking from childhood, which is a specific process. You can't just tell yourself, okay, I'm enough now. You have to actually go into the subconscious and dismantle that. And so that's what I focus on with people.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've all got a childhood, like you say, we've all experienced some kind of, energy that's been put on us to a certain degree. It's funny you also say, your practice is born out of your own experience, because, you know, writers always say, write what you know. So it's very, very interesting that you kind of adopt that same mentality, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't teach anything that I don't know about personally or that I haven't experienced. So,
excellent. Yeah. So a lot of your business is probably wrapped around doing readings for people and talking with people. So since you offer that support and intuitive guidance, There must be some misconceptions about what an intuitive reading actually is. What are the common misconceptions that you've encountered?
Yeah, so many people think that psychics or intuitives know everything. And they think that the future is set in stone. And so therefore a psychic should be able to see an outcome. And if the future was set in stone, that would be true. But the future is actually very flexible. And so, for example, I'll see future possibilities that arise out of the present moment. So I really read energy. So I can read someone's energy in the present moment and intuit what he or she is likely to do based on their energy in the present. You know, even death. My understanding is that we have several possibilities for exiting this life, not just one. So things are flexible here. Either the door to the afterlife that we take depends on the decision we make on a soul level as life is unfolding in the present. So a lot of people also think that if a relationship doesn't work out, they've missed the boat to happiness, or they've lost their twin flame, or they're never going to have the love they want. And it's just not true. Mm-hmm. So those are the different misconceptions that I hear.
And I suppose that there'd be, you know, a lot of the time you'd be able to give people positive news and positive outcomes, but there must be times where you have to sort of give people a bit of a negative outcome or give them a bit of a reality check. How does it feel when you have to do that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I don't mind doing that, because I feel like it's going to benefit them to know what's really true and what's really real. So a way that will manifest is I'll ask my spirit guides, or I'll ask their spirit guides during a reading about the outcome. Like, if this person makes this decision, what will their life potentially look like? And then I'll get pictures from their guides. So I'll be able to tell them, you know, if you do this, if you go down this road, this is what it looks like is going to be the result. And I know you don't want that. I know that that's not your intention, and it would be probably in your best interest if you did this other thing over here. So there are all kinds of suggestions and ideas that I get from spirit about what will make that person's life more peaceful for them.
Mm-hmm. So through the negativity, you can really see some light at the end of the tunnel, really, in any sort of avenue you go.
Yeah, there's always alternatives. There's always possibilities. It's never going to be like, your life from here on out is just going to be terrible and nothing good is ever going to happen for you. You know, I never get messages like that. There's always, even if something's happening that the person isn't happy about, like a relationship is unraveling or they've lost a job or something they really wanted didn't come to fruition, there's always a blessing in it. There's always another path to take. Always.
And that's a really great message, especially, you know, a lot of people, going through things, they don't necessarily feel like anything good is coming their way anytime soon. But it's really powerful to know that you know, in the spirit guide readings and messages that you get, you never see anything that is long-term negativity, which is a really, really comforting thing, or should be a comforting thing for anybody out there who is going through anything negative at this time. You know, a change will come.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So now I may have left one of my most anticipated questions till the very end, but please tell us about Little Girlie.
Little Girlie is my cat. And she's been with my husband and I for 7 years. And about a year ago, I published a book on Amazon about her. And it's called The Wisdom of a Psychic Cat, 15 Lessons on Happiness for Humans. And the premise of the book is that this is her 313th life as a cat. And before that, she lived over 500 lifetimes as a human being. So she's very, very wise. And she dispenses wisdom from those lifetimes. And I have such a fascination with ancient history, so I pulled a lot of history into the book, and it was so much fun to write. And I really connected with her during the writing of it. I really got into what I thought was her spirit, and I just had such a good time creating that.
That's so awesome. When I saw the book last year, I thought that was such a great book. How did you connect with her?
Well, it's funny, you know, during that time, I started feeling like I wanted to connect more with animals. And I ordered a couple of books about animal communication. And what I learned was that animals are very visual. Like, they'll see pictures in their heads, kind of the way that we do when we use our imagination. So you can communicate with an animal by sending a picture telepathically. And so I would just kind of go into my meditation space, and I would ask her to share if indeed she had been alive as a human, like what would be some of the wisdom she would give me? And so I just started seeing pictures, and it's kind of the way I do readings also. So it was great fun.
That's so exciting. Yeah, we at Numerologist, we love the human-animal connection as well. We've actually got a guide about it, which, again, I'll link in the description to the podcast. I'll also put a link to your book, Jessica, so people can check that out if they want to. All right. It has been so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And our listeners can check you out on our blog, on our YouTube channel, and on our socials. So make sure you keep an eye out for Jessica's monthly spirit guide readings. Thanks again, Jessica.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe. And don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.